Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Well, a quick internet search of the term mom brain results in no fewer than 466 million hits. So, I mean, it's obvious that having a child brings a lot of changes to a woman's body. But until recently, there actually hasn't been a lot of research on how having a child affects a woman's brain. Although I think individual mothers probably have a lot to say about their experience of what has happened. But that lack of research is starting to change. And what we're learning is pretty interesting. For example, there's this. After a child is born, the amount of gray matter in the mother's brain increases so dramatically that researchers can easily separate brain scans of women who have had a child from women who haven't. And some other studies have found that the development that occurs during pregnancy, changes in the brain, is just as biologically significant as what happens during puberty. Well, joining us now to talk more about this is Chelsea Conaboy. She's a freelance writer, and her latest piece, which appears in this Sunday's edition of the Boston Globe magazine, is titled Motherhood Brings the Most Dramatic Brain Changes of a Woman's Life. Chelsea, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much for having me.
I loved your piece. I have personal experience in the changes that happened in my brain when motherhood came along. But I'm glad to know that science is now helping explain what's going on. Because it's more than just the inability to remember things and heightened anxiety during your first child's 6 months of life. So tell me, like, what do you think are the most interesting things that science is revealing about how a woman's brain actually changes?
Well, just like you said, this doesn't take much explaining to mothers, right? As I've talked with my friends about this research, as I've been learning about it, they all just sort of nod their heads. If they've had a child, they know that they've been changed by this. And I guess the most significant thing to me is just that scientists are documenting this. So this is not just the idea of mom brain that, you know, sometimes can feel dismissive, you know, that makes us kind of undermines our experience, I think, a little bit. But this is like real tangible change, not small changes either. Like you said, it's one of the most profound changes that a person will experience in their whole lifespan and can be as significant as going through puberty. It's just really dramatic.
I mean, so obviously there are so many physical changes that go on in a woman's body when she's pregnant that, of course, the brain is going to change. It is an integral part of the body. I mean, the fact that you brought out that some researchers have found that, for example, the amount of gray matter in a woman's brain increases very dramatically. I mean,
just one small correction. It actually, so that study actually found that it mostly decreased, although it's bidirectional change. So it sort of depends on what part of the brain you're talking about. But it is, it's a real, real significant
change. Can I blame my mistake on mom brain there?
Totally.
My apologies. Thank you for the correction. Okay, so let's talk about the changes. I mean, do those researchers kind of help what does that help us understand in terms of how that changes the mother, her behavior, her perceptions?
Well, so for one thing, they found that the pattern of changes in the brain really overlaps significantly with the circuits of the brain that are thought to be part of theory of mind. So it's this circuit of the brain that helps us to interpret and respond to other people's pain and emotion. So if you think about what your role is as a parent taking care of another child, that's really critical. Those skills are so important. And if their thinking is that essentially these changes you go through really enhance that circuit in your brain so that you can see, you know, read your baby's needs and know how to better meet them.
And are these changes lasting?
They suspect that they are. So some changes, like something I talked about in the piece, is that, you know, the heightened anxiety and hypervigilance, they think that may moderate over time. But the study you're talking about now, they looked at the brains before pregnancy, right after childbirth, and then 2 years out, and they found that most of the changes were still very much present 2 years out. And the animal research shows that it may be lasting much longer than that.
Hmm. So, I mean, again, this is one of those things that science, I'm glad to say, is through its rigorous research, is affirming what I think a lot of women have intuitively felt, that there are really profound changes, and they have everything to do with the connection and the care and the vigilance that they have surrounding, you know, the survival of their newborn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, I just, if I could just share like a small personal story, when my kiddo number one was born, we actually went traveling with her just when she was a couple of months old. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was on a subway system and going up an escalator and holding her. And I was like looking at every face of people who were around me and every face of people who were coming down the other side of the escalator. And it was almost like my field of vision was like this video screen trying to mark faces that would seem like, is this person a danger? Is that person a danger? It was like full-blown mama bear mode.
Right.
And it was really kind of strange almost. Yeah. But
well, because these things that were once so normal to you, suddenly it's almost like you've never done them before because you've never done them in this new context. I always think about going to the grocery store and ending up like in a, you know, with my baby in the carrier and ending up in a complete full body sweat, you know, standing in the middle of one of the aisles because I just, the same thing. You just have this different, and it's disorienting because you've done this thing a million times, right? And
well, so I just want to just jump in here a second because I think what you just said and my experience and, you know, who knows how many people listening have shared this experience. But you see, we're talking about it in terms of like it caught us off guard. It felt potentially negative. It, you know, we felt anxious about it, et cetera.
Yes.
That was the reason why I think the other part of your story, your magazine story, really was interesting to me because you asked this question like, well, these are actually positive adaptations for mothers.
Yeah.
What if we talked to expectant mothers in doctor's offices about the changes that might happen in their brain? Would it make these postpartum experiences less anxiety producing?
Yeah. I mean, one of the biggest, I had a lot of worries in new motherhood. And one of the biggest worries for me was worry itself. I write that and I really mean it. Like I was afraid. I just was so fearful. I knew that I had changed and I was afraid that I was always going to feel like this. I was always going to be this hypervigilant and sort of obsessive about my child's safety. And that was a really painful prospect, you know, to live like that, really, and to feel that degree of anxiety day to day. And as I learned more and I realized, that the research bears this out, that this is, for the most part, very normal, a normal process that a new mother goes through, and that it can be productive. That really like flipped the script for me. Mm-hmm. That it really like helped me see that what was happening to me. Like, okay, I basically like I can get through this. I can like see this through for the benefit of my child in a way. And it just helped me to cope so much and made a huge difference when I had my second child. And I wonder, if we talked more about it, it would at least give people some sort of grounding and a platform to ask more questions about it when it happens to them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think people maybe anecdotally and informally kind of get that information now, or at least that reassurance from their other, you know, parent friends. But you really ask an important question about whether or not this conversation should be happening in the doctor's office or the midwife's office or whatever. And you actually spoke to some, well, one of the most prominent childhood doctors, T. Mary Brazelton, before he died about this. What did he have to say?
Oh, we had a really wonderful conversation. He was such an interesting man. And you know, he was reassuring me that what I was feeling was exactly this, you know, normal and helpful, and it was part of reorganizing myself into the mother that I wanted to be. And then I got to the point where I asked him, you know, well, shouldn't we be talking with women about these brain changes before they have their baby so that they can be prepared? And he said, no, I think that would scare them. And you know, listening back to the tape from that conversation, I can sort of hear like the air coming out of my sails, like it just deflating. And I think, to be fair to him, I think a lot of people feel that way. It's why it's hard to talk about the challenges of new motherhood with expectant mothers. I have held back from my friends also for fear of scaring them. And I guess I see this brain research as a tool really to do that, to make it something that's less scary, that this is something that happens, that some of the changes that happen in your brain can make you feel really unsettled, but some of them should make you feel empowered to do this new and really important job.
Yeah. I mean, I just kind of jump in here for a second because I mean, it is absolutely true that right now, even under the best of circumstances, expectant mothers, every time they have their, you know, their mm-hmm. their maternal appointments, they get hit with a lot of information, right? Like,
yes.
Are you getting enough exercise? Are you eating right?
Yeah.
Here's this change is going to happen. That change is going to happen. Let's measure your blood pressure. Are you at risk of preeclampsia? I mean, like, we could go on and
so
on
much.
And on and on. But there's also a healthy and much needed discussion about here are the things to watch out for regarding postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've made, in terms of some of the mental changes that could happen to women after birth, we've made important
huge.
Progress in,
yeah.
in bringing that up. So mm-hmm. so why not then, you know, if a woman wants more information, why not just, could a doctor just say, hey, there's also some changes that might happen to your brain. They're for yeah. a reason. Do you want to know more?
Yeah. I guess I would also argue that putting those, I mean, so scientists don't really know whether postpartum mood disorders like postpartum depression and anxiety and obsessive compulsive disorder, that they don't know if those happen because of these typical changes in a mother's brain or if there's something else going on in the brain's wiring that triggers those. But I would ask, you know, wouldn't it be beneficial to talk about them within the broader context of the maternal brain. Like, if you say to a woman, you know, 1 in 5 women might experience these postpartum mood disorders, at least some women, I think myself included, it might be easier to say, okay, I hear you. But I don't know if this is going to happen to me. I'll put this over here. Versus if you say to them, every woman's brain changes. This is what can happen. But in a, you know, the fuller spectrum looks like this. I don't know. I feel like it would open the conversation up so that it makes it easier for women who have those really troubling symptoms to get help, maybe.
Right.
But
you talk to a doctor.
It includes everyone else.
Yeah. You talk to a doctor, though, who was a little yeah. reluctant to do this because she said, really, the goal is to then, if women have questions about what can we do about it, they need
yeah.
to have answers, and they don't have answers
yeah.
yet necessarily.
Right. Yeah. And I totally respect that point of view. I guess one thing you talked about how, I think that this is a conversation that lots of women get from other mothers, like you said. But I worry a little bit about the people who don't have those mothers to talk to, you
yeah.
know, that who don't have a support system or work so many hours that they can't go to the mother's group or, you know, whatever it may be. They just don't have those relationships and who may be among the people who need these conversations the most. I just think giving them some sort of grounding about their brain when the research is starting to show that the changes are really profound and not just in a portion of mothers, but all mothers, I think starting the conversation mm-hmm. at the place where the mothers go, you know, to their healthcare providers and elsewhere is really important.
I have one last question in the last couple yeah. seconds that we have, because, of course, we've been talking about the mothers who physically give
yes.
birth to children.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you write a little bit about, you know, for all the dads and other caregivers out there in the world
yes.
who have close contact with infants, do they experience measurable neurological, physical changes in their brains as well?
They do, which I think is fascinating. And this is really, I think the science is even maybe newer, but there are some studies that show that fathers, and especially fathers who serve as primary caregivers to the children, that they have they develop, you know, essentially this parental caregiving network in their brain that is very similar to the mother's. It's a different in sort of like the degree of change, but also the mechanism of change. You know, when a mother gives birth, it triggers this change. When a father needs exposure, or a father or another parent needs exposure to the child in order for it to take place, but it does happen.
Well, Chelsea Conaboy is a freelance writer who lives in Portland, Maine, and her most recent story is Motherhood Brings the Most Dramatic Brain Changes of a Woman's Life. It's going to be in this Sunday's edition of the Boston Globe magazine. We're linking to it at radioboston.org. Chelsea, thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.